I extend warm greeting to each and every one of you worshiping here in this beautiful sanctuary, and to those who have come to join us via Zoom. A man applying for a job courageously asks the interviewer about employment benefits before any evaluation of his job qualification was processed. The interviewer said that the company would pay for a portion of his hospital insurance, but the worker would have to cover the rest, and it was deducted from his check. The last place I worked, the company paid fully for the insurance, he said. Did they pay for your life insurance too? The interviewer asked. Sure they did, the man said. Not only that, they pay for dental and vision. I spend no dime from my pocket for any insurance, but there were more. I got huge retirement benefits, unlimited sick leaves, national and state holidays off, paid family, medical, and pet leave, free children and pet daycare, transportation allowance, severance pay, 3 weeks of vacation, a Christmas bonus, free meals. Before the applicant finished his prolonged answer, the interviewer interrupted. Then why did you leave such a fabulous place? The man replied, the company folded. Every business runs on the principle that somebody needs to work to support someone else's benefit. Labor is an essential nature of life, from the cradle to the grave. For this very reason, everyone seeks rest, not once in a while, but throughout life. We are in the vacation season again, and I thought it would be a good thing to reflect upon a true rest, because that's what we are looking for. Not the one people without faith go after, but the true rest, and how to obtain this true rest. Let me briefly share with you three important aspects of the Sabbath rest God established in His creation. The first one is something I shared with you before. It was, to me, a very, very profound theology and study of the Old Testament. But in summary, what it means is that Jesus is the Lord of the Sabbath. God created the universe on this very principle that the Sabbath rest can only be found through the Lord of Sabbath. Who is that? Jesus. The concrete evidence of it is the fundamental unit of seven-day cycle by which the whole year runs, so does the whole universe. Whether or not people recognize it, you know, there are believers out there, non-believers out there, whether or not they know it, this whole universe runs on the seven-day cycle, which is, means this. The Lord of Sabbath is built into the whole creation, God's creation. The Sabbath rest also means that God created the universe in such a perfect condition, so perfect that God was very pleased with what He made, and there was nothing more to be created and nothing to change what He made. The third one is God created the Sabbath before their expulsion from the garden and human labor began. This is very important, right? The Sabbath rest was created before the human labor was required, because once they were moved away from the Garden of Eden, they had to labor to sustain their life. But Sabbath rest preceded the human labor. Human did not need to labor for sustenance at all in the flawlessly self-sustaining garden. All they had to do was to enjoy God's creation and commune with God. But sin came in because of their disobedience. As a result, they were removed and had to labor to survive. What was manifested from the beginning was the direct cause and effect related to the loss of rest by disobedience and the need of labor. It was God's grace that we can find in God's creation, even after the corruption by disobedience. It was God's grace that imbued the creation, that the Sabbath rule preceded the human labor. What do we usually understand? What is our natural reasoning and common sense? Work comes first and then the rest. Is that how we operate in our daily living? We gotta work first and then be able to rest. We work during the day and rest at night, which is expanded to the whole lifespan. Kenny just retired from many years of work and moved up to this city. Now, how long do people work before retirement? More than several decades. They say that the average retirement age is about 64. If people start working after high school, they work about 46 years before retirement. Those to pass the average retirement age would work close to 50 years. That's half a century, right? Worse yet, no one is completely from labor after well-deserved retirement. What does this depressing reality of endless labor do to us? It makes us long for rest always. And yet, the lasting rest does not seem achievable. On the other hand, the rest in God and from God is attainable. Obviously, God spoke of a different kind of rest when he said to Israel, "They shall never enter my rest." By the mighty hand of God, Israel was liberated from the bondage of slavery. God made their passage into the wilderness. About 2 million people were freed without any usage of military force. They walk on the seabed of the Red Sea and enter the Sinai Desert. It took them only 11 days to traverse from Mount Sinai to Kadesh Barnea, which is the border of Canaan. They reached in 11 days, right? So if everything went well, on the 12th day, they would have gotten into it. By the same speed of the trouble, Israel could have conquered the land in less than a couple of months and begun to settle there. They came so close to the Holy Land, but ended up wandering in the Sinai Desert for 4 decades. All because of one reason: disobedience. Israel sent spies to scout Canaan. The spies returned and gave a very discouraging report to the whole assembly. The land was fertile, and the people were very well nourished. They were much stronger and taller than those malnourished former slaves of Egypt. Hearing the report, the people regretted the Exodus and became nostalgic about their previous life as slaves. It was when God became angry at the people and said, "They shall never enter my rest." God made them wander in the Sinai Desert, and waited until all those who distrusted God in Kadesh Barnea died. God did everything to bring them out of Egypt, led them so close to the border, even though God did not let them come into that promised land. The rest God was talking about was certainly attainable. God brought them so close to it because God was the one who was going to give to them. It was very possible before their own eyes. The rest God was talking about was attainable. While all the human efforts to attain rest is not feasible. Moreover, the rest God spoke of is far better than the rest people crave. It is not a mere physical breather, but the rest to restore our body, our mind, and our soul. Consider the work of Israel engaged in after they went into the land of Canaan 40 years later. What did they do after they settled? They still needed to work for sustenance. So they farmed, they raised cattle, they built houses. Actually, those are the more laborers than they did while they were in the desert. They did not do any of those farming, raising cattle, and build houses because God provided manna every morning. God provided a source of protein by sending quail. They didn't need to build houses while they were in the desert. The rest that can restore our mind, our body, and our soul can only come from the Lord. The rest, kind of rest that we can get by God's making us lie down in green pastures, by leading us beside quiet waters, is something God can only do. So Hebrews chapter 4, we just read, concretely defines rest as something given by God. It's not, you know, the rest that we try to obtain in our daily living. The rest is something given by God, not of a human origin. To receive this rest, one has to be connected to the giver of rest by believing and obeying the giver. The rest from the giver of rest relieves us from the bondage of this life when no human can gain this rest. So there are two models of rest. Rest that we all try to gain. I will call it human rest. And the other, God-given rest. What is more practicable among the two? The answer is very clear. No matter how hard people try, they can never obtain rest by themselves. It is easily attainable when we receive the rest from the Lord. I found a very interesting article at the webpage of the New England Historical Society. And let me share that article, interesting article, with you. And it, to me, very intriguing because it talks about two different kinds of approaches to gain the rest. And article describes the two different approaches between the British monarchies and the Puritans. And I quote, "In the late 16th century, the growing Puritan movement in England tried to ban sports on Sundays. Then in 1595, a Puritan scholar wrote a book called The True Doctrine of the Sabbath that advocated the Sabbath be treated as a solemn day to meditate and attend meetings. Queen Elizabeth ordered it burned." Elizabeth's cousin, James I, you know, this is the James that we know of, who organized the translation of the King James Version, right? Elizabeth's cousin, James I, ascended to the throne, and he knew the Puritans threatened his authority. In 1617 and 1618, he went on a listening tour of England, and he heard complaints about Sunday. People work all day from Monday through Saturday, and then had to spend their entire Sunday at the Puritan services. That was a bit more for King James. So he issued a book of sports, formerly known as the Declaration of Sports. It directed his subject to attend Sunday services, but to spend Sunday afternoons enjoying life. Then James ordered the Book of Sports read in every church in England, and that is the Church of England. Every church of England. Catholics who attended Mass and dissenters like the Puritans want to have fun on Sunday, even if they wanted to. James died in 1625. His son, Charles I, ordered the Book of Sports reissued and read in every church. If Puritan ministers didn't go along with Charles' religious decrees, his bishop would remove them from the pulpit and take away their license to preach. The Book of Sports did give the Puritans an out. They could either conform themselves or leave the country. And so thousands of Puritans left for North America between 1620 and 1640. I mean, you know, we know that the Puritans and pilgrims came for religious freedom. But more concretely, the Puritans, a lot of Puritans came because of that regulation that had to do with how they spend their Sabbath. Eventually, of course, Puritans took power in England, and Charles lost his head. Many of the Puritans who left his repressive rule and ended up returning to England. And in 1643, Puritans ordered the hangman to burn the Book of Sports on the Common in London. In old England, kings believed in human-generated rest, and they tried to give their people rest. It's something they believed that this rest can be achieved by human efforts. While the Puritans maintained God as the true source of rest, life itself is non-stop labor. Even though true rest is never attainable by human efforts and labor, So many people fruitlessly try so hard for it. God is the originator of the Sabbath, and rest is only found in God. Jesus said, "Come to me, all who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." I will give you rest. Jesus is the giver of rest. Jesus is the Lord of the Sabbath, the only giver of true rest. So how do we obtain rest? By trusting in Him, by softening our hearts to obey Him. This could be much easier than our endless human efforts to obtain rest. J.B. Phillips' translation translates Hebrews 4:3 like this: "It is only as a result of our faith and trust that we experience that rest." Let me read to you once more. "It is only as a result of our faith and trust that we experience that rest, the rest in God." Lastly, when can we truly rest? The scripture this morning points out the Sabbath rest that God created, and then another day, call it another day, today. When can we truly rest? The Word of God says, today. That's another day that we all can find rest. Which means any moment and any day when we put our trust in His name and power. You know, have you done this? When you have all the troubles and you feel your shoulder feels so heavy, weighed down by the pressure, the weight of life, and you feel like that you cannot carry the burden of life any longer, and you finally kneel down to God and say, "Lord, I've tried my best to take care of this problem of mine to the best of my ability, but I cannot." You know, simply give up, right? Then all of a sudden, you feel like all the burdens is been lightened. The burdens are gone. And you find peace in your heart. And you feel like now you finally found rest. That's the kind of rest that we all need. How do you find this rest? By trusting in Him. When can we do it? The moment that we give all the cares and all the burdens of life and say, "Lord, here, I cannot do it anymore. Take this from me." Amen.